Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Good to be here. And it's wonderful to have this opportunity once again to come and worship the Lord. You just never know how many chances you're going to get to do this, and I'm thankful to be here tonight. I am a little tired today. I did have to mow two lawns, so I'm just hoping that the Lord will perk me up. We are going to open with prayer before we do anything here tonight. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast brought us here once again. We are so thankful for thy promises that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are in our midst. And we believe that. We embrace that promise here tonight. We know that thou art here, and we pray, O God, that thou would give us the ability and the desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth here tonight. I pray, O God, that everyone here today would feel thy presence, thy Holy Ghost. Let thy Spirit be upon each and every one of us and inspire us all to worship thee here this night, to give thee our hearts. We pray that each and everything we do here this night would be pleasing in thy sight and for thy glory. Bless this service, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start with our chorus books here tonight, and we're going to turn to number 13, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Number 13. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. And may fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in number 31 and sing, I Know the Lord Will Make a Way, number 31. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. He'll heal your body, He'll save your soul, He'll make you happy, He'll make you whole. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. I know the Lord will make a way. Number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way. Number 25.
Is one.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 47 and sing, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47. Lord, make me what I want to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Be what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up high. Quite a week for me. I started writing the July newsletter last Friday, and I worked on it some more on Sunday after church, and then on Monday I spent all day working on that newsletter and finally finished it about 8 p.m. And of course we had to have Mom proofread that, and then we had to do the corrections, and Jane printed it today, but you know, I finally put that in Jane's hands to print it, and then I had to go mow lawns. And, you know, our yard, it's quite a bit of work. We got a half acre, so it's a fairly good-sized lawn. We mowed that, and then I had to rush over and mow Mom's lawn after that. It needed it. And, you know, I was very tired after finishing everything that I had been working on and then those lawns. But I tell you what, when you wait on the Lord, He does give you the strength that you need to do the things that need to be done. And I am so thankful for that strength that God gives us. We're going to sing number 48 right now. They that wait upon the Lord, number 48. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall Lord, Give us strength, praise God. And where would we be without that strength? Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy abundant blessings, for Thy love and Thy care towards us. We thank Thee, O God, for supplying all our needs. We thank Thee for Thy great blessings which Thou hast poured out. We thank Thee for sustaining this ministry for so many years. And I pray, O God, that Thy hand would continue to guide this ministry and show us what we must do in the days ahead. We are trusting Thee completely and believing on Thee for Thy guidance and Thy direction. Give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. We ask, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to pray for Diane again. She's not here tonight, which is very unusual. And her blood sugar has been giving her problems again, and it's too low. And I believe she was texting Jane, so she's in contact with her, and she let Jane know that she ate something, and her blood sugar started to go up a little bit, and that's good. But I guess he just felt like it wasn't wise to drive with it that low. So we're going to just pray that God will normalize this. And I know the doctors have been giving her medications, different doses and so forth, and changing things a little bit. And, you know, it can be hard to maintain a blood sugar level. So we're going to pray for Diane and ask the Lord to help her and heal her. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer once again for Diane, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and touch her. We pray, O God, that Thou would solve this problem once and for all. For we know, O God, Thou art a healer. We know, O God, that Thou art a deliverer. We know, O God, that Thou can have the victory over diabetes and every other illness. For we know that by Thy stripes we are healed. And I pray, O God, that Thou would touch Diane. Let her feel Thy healing virtue even now, right now. Let Thy power flow. I pray, O God, that Thou would give her great faith to believe on Thee for complete healing. We pray, O God, that Thou would normalize this blood sugar. I pray, O God, that Thou would cure her of these diabetes. I pray, O God, that Thou would cure her of her arthritis and all the pain that she has. I pray, O God, that Thou would give give her great strength so that she can do the things she needs to do. We ask for thy blessing to be upon her. We ask, oh God, for thy help to be with her. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we are going to open our hymnals now, our Melodies of Praise hymnals, to number 251, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Well, praise God. With that thought in mind, we're going to turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's, again, wonderful to be here. Wonderful to be able to sing the praises of the Lord. I just love how, you get your heart on the Lord and just dwelling on those words and those songs. And, things begin to change.
You know, the presence of the Lord comes down, and oh wow, He begins to touch us. Oh, rejuvenate us. Give us strength that we don't have of ourselves. And it's a wonderful thing. I thank God that He makes a way that we can dwell in His presence. We can find that little sanctuary with our God. And what a wonder it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here as we begin here tonight and ask God to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again, Lord, for this special place, Lord, where we can come, Lord. Oh, God, where, oh, Lord, we can turn to Thy Word. And, oh, Lord Jesus, we can sing Thy praises. Thank You, God, for this little flock that joins us here, Lord. Oh, God, and most of all, we thank You, Lord, for Your angels, oh, God, that surround us. And Your, oh, wonderful presence, Lord, that comes down, Lord, that You are here in our midst. Oh, Lord, You are here, Lord, to meet the needs of Your people. Oh, God, You are here to revive Your people, Lord, and to send forth that which we have need of, God. Oh, Lord, Thou knowest. Thou carest, Lord. And, oh, God, we know that there is none like Thee, Lord Jesus. We pray, oh, God, that You'd be here tonight. Oh, God, we pray that You would talk to our hearts. Oh, God, get us to that place, that higher ground with You, Lord. Oh, God, make us what we ought to be in You, Lord. Oh, God, prepare our hearts so we can stand before You, Lord, and hear You say, well done, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You would talk here tonight. Oh, God, that You'd give strength. Oh, Lord, that You'd empower me, oh, Lord, by the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord, to say, oh, God, what You would have me to say, Lord. Oh, God, that Your Word would feed our souls, Lord. Oh, God, how we need that engrafted Word, oh, Lord, to talk to our hearts. Oh, God, to get us to that higher ground, Lord. Oh, God, You know the needs of every individual, Lord. I pray that Your presence would come down. Oh, Lord, that You would meet, Lord, here tonight. Oh, God, those online. Oh, God, those sitting here, Lord. Those that listen to this later, Lord. Oh, God, You know, God, oh, that Thy presence would come down. That You take care of every need, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that You reach out to those who have yet not given their lives to You. I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that You talk a very special way here tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You would meet with us in a very special way, Lord. Oh, God, let Thy presence come down. Oh, God, we ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh, God, have Your way, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, and let, oh, God, every seducing evil spirit be bound in the name of Jesus, that it would have no part here, no place at all. But, oh, God, we give heed to Thee and Thy Word, all Thy ways, oh, and have Your way, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, praise our God. We're going to... the grace of God, we're going to go to 1 Peter, the second chapter here, and see what He will show us. So I left my glasses in my purse, so praise the Lord. He's wonderful, He's gracious, He knows how to help us, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter, the second chapter here. Praise the Lord. We can kind of divide this chapter into a couple different phases, but I believe this very first phase here is talking about spiritual growth. And, you know, that is so important. When we come to the Lord, we come to Him as newborn babes, and it's going to make a reference to that in the second verse. And you know, how tragic it would be if, you know, we had a baby, a newborn baby, and you know, it wouldn't eat. You know, there's no hope in that. You know, it couldn't be nourished, and you know, likewise, how it would be if, you know, somebody comes to the Lord, and the Lord has compared us as newborn babes, if we had no spiritual sustenance, you know, if the Word of God didn't feed our souls, and you know, we just came and then, you know, nothing else happened. There were no connections, and there was therefore no growth. And, you know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes people do come to the Lord, and you know, they make a start, and sometimes maybe a little bit of growth and then all at once it's stunted. We don't like that either. Oh, we've all got a long ways to go, and there's always more to strive for in the Lord. But praise the Lord, we want to feed on the good things of God. We want to be nourished by the Word of God. And praise the Lord, that's one reason we're here tonight, to learn, to be nourished. Oh yes, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here, as we read this very first verse here in 1 Peter, the second chapter, it tells us, first of all here, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And of course, we know that these are works of the flesh. And certainly as we come to the Lord, we want these works to go away. We don't want to feed these works of the flesh. And so it's telling us here that we need to lay aside anything like these characteristics that might try to be in us. And, you know, first of all, it says malice. It's a horrible characteristic, you know, that desire to harm other people or to see other people suffer. Oh no, we don't want any malice in our hearts. And it talks about guile, and you know, we don't want to be beguiled, or we don't want to be taken off by deception or trickery or deceit. You know, we don't want any guile in our life. We don't want to be, you know, supposedly one way, you know, to others and something else deep down inside. And then it says hypocrisies, and you know, again, you know, we know there are plenty of people who put on a front and they pretend to be something they're not. And, you know, maybe really sweet to your face and stabbing you in the back, you know, behind your back. You know, yes, when you're not listening. So we don't want to be a hypocrite. We don't want to be an actor. It says envies. You know, certainly we don't want to covet things that are other people, other ways of other people, or get other works of other people. No, we don't want any of that in our life. And then it says, all evil speaking. And you know, boy, sometimes, you know, those little ways of the enemy try to get in and try to, you know, help us to think thoughts, make us to think thoughts that, you know, are not nice. And quite possibly not even true, because the devil has a way of taking our imaginations and just going wild, you know, and pretty soon you have a great big yarn out of, you know, nothing. But we don't want any evil speakings in our lives. But it says rather in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So, as we already said, you know, in the physical realm, if we had a child, a newborn, and they couldn't be nourished, I'd say they would die. Because it's very essential, you know, that a newborn baby be nourished, you know. And it's amazing a lot of times the little ones, how fast they grow. But how discouraging it would be if, you know, you had a child and there was no growth, or, you know, they couldn't be nourished at all. But spiritually, we need to desire that sincere milk of the word, it tells us here. And sincere here, I believe, means genuine, that true, that real word of God. You know, nothing that's fake, nothing that's phony. And these days, oh my, there's a lot that falls in that category. There's all these false versions of the Bible that take you away from the true Word of God. But how we need the genuine milk of the Word. And, you know, that is one of the things that is going to feed us when we first come to the Lord. And, you know, as we continue our walk in the Lord, we're still going to need it, you know. Even if you walk with the Lord 50 years, that doesn't mean that now you don't need the sincere milk of the Word. No, we still have to survive. We still need to be nourished. It says that you may grow thereby. And then it says in verse 3, if so be, Ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have you come to the living fountains? Have you found the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's nothing like knowing the Lord and Him knowing you and having a relationship with the Lord Almighty. Oh, yes, the Creator of the universe. Oh, yes, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And how gracious He is. Oh, how merciful He is. How kind He is. We know that we can turn our lives over to Him. And knowing that, oh yes, as we repent. Oh yes, that He'll take those sins. Oh yes, and that He'll forgive those sins. Oh yes, He's gracious. He's so gracious to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Praise the Lord. And then it begins to talk a little bit more about our life in Christ. It says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So as we come to the Lord, we're not coming to a dead entity. We're not coming to a dead religion. We're not coming to a dead God by any means. But we're coming to the living God. Oh, yes. And how living our God is. So alive, yes. Oh, yes, they did crucify Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, death could not hold Him. Oh, there was no corruption that His body saw at all. Death could not hold Him. He came forth as a living Savior. And praise the Lord, yes, He ascended into the heavens. But He came back to live in the hearts of His people. And praise the Lord, He is alive. He is alive today. He is living in the hearts of His people. So, oh yes, we know. Oh, to those that live in disbelief, unbelief, that He's disallowed indeed a man. Oh yes, He's rejected, in other words, a man. But oh yes, to us who can acknowledge Him, to us who can receive Him, chosen of God and precious, it says, ye also as lively stones. Oh yes, the Lord takes us. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, as it tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1. We were dead. We were out there. We didn't have hope. We were, you know, walking around, but we didn't have the breath of God dwelling in our being, and we weren't alive in Christ. But praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He came in. Oh, He came in to walk with us, to talk with us, to dwell in us, so that we could be lively stones. Oh, yes, so that we could be full of life, the life of Jesus Christ, full of His vigor, full of that enthusiasm that comes from serving the Lord, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Oh, yes, so He made us to become lively stones. And oh yes, we're built up. Oh, we become part of a family of God. So we are built up a spiritual house. Oh yes, it's built on a spiritual foundation. It's contrary to the ways of the world. It's contrary to the ways of the flesh. You know, as we yield our life over to the Lord, as we surrender our will to God, He begins to change us. Oh, yes, He begins to make us spiritual creatures. Oh, yes, because we know we had a problem prior to that. You know, when we lived in our sins and trespasses, we were carnal. We thought according to the flesh, according to the ways of mankind. There was a tremendous problem with that, and I'm just going to turn here for a moment to the 8th chapter of Romans, because, oh, there's quite a description here in Romans, the 8th chapter. Oh, yes, if we could just read a little bit of this, we see what a contrast the carnal mind is to the spiritual mind that Christ would have us to have within our very beings. It says in verse 1 here in Romans 8, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, you know, in our sins we were condemned. You know, we had no hope in this world. We were miserable. We didn't have the living Savior. But praise the Lord, He made a way so we didn't have to continue in that condemnation. We didn't have that condemning element upon our lives when Jesus Christ came in. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, it is qualified. Because, oh, I'm afraid there are some people who don't grow in grace, who don't, you know, become nourished in the ways of the Lord and the engrafted Word. And, you know, if that's the case, you could still be walking after the flesh. You don't continue to yield to the Lord. If you don't take in His Word and take in of His Spirit. So, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Yes, that old way, that contrary way. And we were all there. Yes, we've all been back there. You know, we were born, you know, in this world. We were born with this flesh. And, you know, we were born in this world of sin. And we became servants of sin. But praise the Lord, God intervened. Oh, yes, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, we had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But, oh, the wages of sin is death, as it tells us in Romans, that sixth chapter. But praise the Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life, what a contrast we have here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, that turning everything over to the Lord and learning how to yield to His Spirit, how to give everything over to the Spirit of the living God. And how important it is. It tells us in verse 5 here in Romans 6, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Then it explains more in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's a complete contrast. They're complete opposites. The carnal mind is enmity against God. There's a separation. Oh yes, the two do not walk together, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There is no way. There is no way. So it says in verse 8 then, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, you see how important it is to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes, we couldn't make it of our own intuition, doing our own thing, doing our own ways, trying to even do good works of ourselves. It wasn't going to work. Because, oh, that carnal mind would block everything and separate us from God. Enmity against God, it tells us. It cannot be subject to the law of God. And so, again, verse 8, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But praise the Lord. In verse 9 it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh, that old man begins to die within us, and all those desires that we had in the flesh begin to die when we give everything over to the Lord and let the Spirit of God come to dwell in our being. Oh, praise the Lord. He fills us with His Spirit. He fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. He comes in to transform us, to change us, to convert us. Oh, yes. So we don't have to walk in those old ways. We don't have to be like that old man. Oh, yes. That just walked in the flesh and pleased the flesh and didn't know God. But again, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, those fleshly desires, all of that. That old man is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, yes, the Holy Ghost has had resurrection power too. Oh, the power that will quicken our mortal bodies. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, when it's time for those bodies. Oh, yes, to be resurrected. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to quicken us by His Spirit that dwells within His people. Verse 12 explains, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, He puts His wonderful Spirit in us so that we can be His sons and daughters. And oh, yes, there's no way that we no longer want to live after the flesh. Oh, it says if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But that's, oh, yes, those desires that come to dwell within us through the Holy Ghost. Oh, we do mortify, we kill, we stricken those deeds of the body. We don't want any part of it. We crucify the old man. And therefore, if we do so, it says, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. And that wonderful Spirit, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Praise the Lord. But oh, what a contrast the Spirit and the flesh are. And it tells us very clearly in that 8th chapter that, oh, if we're walking in the flesh, that there is no way that we can please God. Oh, so that need, yes, to yield to the Spirit of the living Christ, to let the Holy Ghost, yes, dwell within us. Oh, yes, to give way to the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, that we might. Yes, it tells us back here in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, ye also as lively stones, oh, made alive by the Spirit of the living God, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And then, yes, so as we read, wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Oh, what hope there is in the Gospel. It says, he that believeth on Him, that being the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not be confounded, shall not be ashamed, in other words. Because, oh yes, there was one who came to this world. Oh yes, there's one that came, oh yes, to offer Himself a ransom for many. Oh yes, to give His life as an atonement for sin. Oh yes, so that, oh yes, our lives could be changed, so we could be transformed, so we could become a holy priesthood, and oh yes, able to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Oh yes, those wonderful sacrifices that we offer. You know, Psalms 51 verse 17 talks about the sacrifices of God being a broken spirit. It says, a broken and a contrite spirit God will not despise. And yes, when we come to Him, yes, that fleshy spirit of ours, oh, that natural man of ours, it becomes broken as we begin to see ourselves for what we are in the natural sense, that old man, oh yes, that person, that individual that's separated from God and walking in the ways of man, and, you know, doing those carnal things. Oh yes, but the Lord intervened so that we could offer spiritual sacrifices. Oh, so that we could present our bodies a living sacrifice, as it tells us in Romans the 12th chapter, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Not being conformed to this world, but rather being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh yes, He comes to us. Oh yes, He comes to us so that, oh yes, we are not conformists anymore to the things of this world. Oh no, but rather He takes us so that we can be transformed. Oh yes, so we can put on Christ, so we can have a new nature within us that is not after the carnal man, it's not after the flesh, but it's after Christ. And we can grow. We can grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But He puts all that within us so that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices. And you know, just it explains in Hebrews actually a little bit more about those spiritual sacrifices. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, a couple little verses here tell us. Verse 15 and verse 16 in Hebrews 13. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And yes, as we have this new nature, as yes, the Spirit of God indwells within our very being, oh yes, we can offer true sacrifices of praise to God. Oh yes, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Oh yes, that spirit that rises within us, that thankful spirit. And also remembering to do good and to communicate. In other words, to give. Forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Oh, the things that we do for other people. Yes, to meet their needs. It says to do good and to communicate. Forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. But as He puts that new spirit within us, oh yes, it becomes a part of our new person in Christ Jesus. So yes, it goes back to yes, that laying in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded, not be ashamed. And it's explained in verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stones which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner. You know, just pausing here a moment, you know, Jesus came unto this earth. There were so many that did not perceive that He was the Christ. Oh, they were looking for a Messiah. But they had other ways of thinking, and they did get it. Oh, yes, that their Messiah was there and that he had come to save them from their sins. They were looking for something else. They were looking for another kind of deliverance. And you know that chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, it was disallowed. Oh, it was disallowed. But praise the Lord, there is nothing that could restrict it. There was nothing that could stop it. Jesus came to this world as the Son of God. God robed in flesh. Came to this world with a plan, with a purpose. Oh yes, to seek and to save those that were lost. And it was going to be accomplished. He was going to bring forth a people that would be purchased by His own blood. And yes, regardless of rejection, regardless of being despised, regardless of being crucified, oh yes, regardless, that stone which the builders disallowed has become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Oh, I just want to show you a few little things here. Let's just go here to Matthew just for a little bit here. Matthew, the 21st chapter, and there's a parable that Jesus told, and I'd like to share it here tonight. Praise the Lord. And Matthew 21, Jesus told this parable. It begins with verse 33, and you know, he talks about a householder, and this householder had a mission. You know, this householder, this individual planted a vineyard, it tells us he hedged it roundabout, he digged a wine press in it, he built a tower, did everything that was needful here to make it successful and to have all the aspects that were needed here to be productive. But then, yes, this husbandman, after he had built all this, he let it out to a husbandman, and he went into a far country. But yet, he had not forgotten what he had begun here. And you know, when it was time to receive some fruit of this project that he had begun here, he sent out servants to receive it, it tells us here in verse 34, and I'm paraphrasing, that they might receive the fruits of the labors here and what he invested in. And tell you what, it didn't go so well because those husbandmen didn't receive his servants. It says in verse 35, the husbandmen took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. But again, you know, he sent more. It says, again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. A repeat of the first. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But I'm afraid not. It says in verse 38, but when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, oh, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. See, they wanted to take over. They wanted this vineyard and all of this for their own selves. They didn't want to have to be subject to the, you know, the householder who had built it in the first place, the owner. So, yes, he sent his son, the heir. And oh, what did they do? They said, come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Oh, I tell you what, oh, there was a day of reconciliation. It says, when the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, those that were listening to this parable, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which will render him fruits in their season. And Jesus saith unto them, oh, he was talking to the publicans, perhaps, or to the Pharisees, or whoever it was, obviously those that were so hindered, the chief priests, actually, and the elders, I believe there, if I'm looking at verse 23 properly, and those that came to question him, whoever else was standing there. But he goes back in the scripture. He said in verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And then he said it very clearly in verse 43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. And I'll tell you what, the chief priests and the Pharisees, when they heard this parable and these other parables that he had before mentioned, it says, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Oh, they got it. It says in verse 46, but when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. But we know that Jesus, the creator of the universe, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. But the world received him not. We know that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And here is this reference, those that he had come to, his own people, the Jewish nation, because they rejected him, because they despised him, because they ignored the truth that he disclosed, all of that, because they hated him. He says in verse 43, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And who would those people be? Oh, they would be a people that would receive the Lord as many that received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And just not quite through there, but finishing the thought here in 1 Peter, because it goes along with it. You know, as it is mentioned, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Here in verse 7 in 1 Peter 2, it says, in contrast in verse 8, and a stone, a stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. All those that didn't get it, those that rejected Jesus, those that stumbled at the word. You know, as he told them there in that 21st chapter of Matthew, plainly to their faces, that because of their stumbling, their rejection, oh yes, their denial, and it had been long term, because yes, God had sent his prophets to minister to them. How had they treated his prophets? Oh, I'll tell you what, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, oh, so many of them, almost all of them, Zechariah, they were despised, they were rejected. Oh, many of them were murdered also by their own people, those that refused to hear what they were saying. And that's the reference that Jesus was speaking of, all those servants that he had sent forth, oh yes, to receive fruits of the vineyard, those that were rejected by the husbandmen, those that were in charge. And Jesus, he came to the house of Israel. He came to his own people. But because of rejection, because they despised him, it says the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Oh, God's going to put it within his people to bring forth fruit. And I know the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yes, it was first preached to the Jews. There in the day of Pentecost, it was received by Jewish people and by proselytes. But oh yes, as the gospel spread, yes, it spread to the Samaritans. It spread to the Gentiles. And Paul went forth, oh yes, to preach the gospel to the Gentile people. And I'll tell you what, Paul was Jewish. And Paul had a burden for those Jewish people. And he would go into the synagogues and he would preach there in all those cities that he traveled to. And perhaps they listened for a day or two. But oh, I'll tell you what. Down the road, sooner or later, they were the ones that gave him the most trouble. They were the ones that drove him away. They were the ones that tried to stone him. Oh yes, they gave him all kinds of havoc. They gave him all kinds of trouble. Paul realized, oh yes, that God was bringing forth another nation, another people. And here, Peter is also addressing here in these epistles. As I said last week, this writing that Peter did is addressed to the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Oh yes, the Gentile people, the strangers, oh yes, who were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. God and the people are here. In the second chapter of 1 Peter, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, how beautiful it is. Oh, yes. Oh, the gospel became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Oh, those that fell in disbelief, oh, unbelief. Those that fell being disobedient, it tells us in verse 8, whereunto also they were appointed. But God had a people. Oh, yes, and oh, it's such a beautiful description here. Oh, yes, the people of God, this, oh, new covenant people who would become that chosen generation. Oh, yes, the gospel was now opened to all that the Lord our God shall call. It wasn't opened up specifically to one race of people, but it was opened, oh, yes, to all tribes and kindreds. And people, all different tongues, all diverse people from the north, from the south, from the east and the west, gathered together to sit, oh yes, before the throne of God. So yes, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Oh yes, that is what he was bringing forth, a people, a nation, a people. Yes, it would consist of diverse people, but all born again of the water and of the Spirit. A people that would come, people that would see, people that would understand and bend the knee and bow to the Lord. Oh, how beautiful it is, because, oh yes, we were grafted in. Oh yes, to the family of God, and we became participants in the family of God. And what a wonderful thing it is that we could be joint heirs with Christ. Oh yes, that we could be part of God's very family. And praise the Lord, as it explains in that 21st chapter of Matthew, that stone of stumbling, that rock of offense, oh, which was Jesus Christ himself. Oh yes, who came, yes, and they didn't understand how that had been prophesied, how that had been declared many times there in the Old Testament. But be it available, says verse 44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Oh yes, when we come to the living stone, when we come to Jesus Christ, it breaks us, because we see ourselves, we have a realization of our sin, that knowledge of sin, and you know, it breaks us apart. Oh yes, so yes, where we begin to realize that we have to give it all over to the Lord. We have to repent. We have to turn that old life over to the Lord Jesus. So we fall on the stone. We fall on the Lord Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone. And it breaks us in that sense. But on whosoever it shall fall, if we don't fall on the rock, if we don't yield our life to God, if we don't surrender, if we don't repent, it's going to fall on us. That stone is going to fall on those that do not listen, those that do not obey, those, oh yes, that run away from the gospel. It shall fall, and it shall grind him to powder. Oh, the great need to repent and to get right with God. And oh, what a privilege it is, because yes, He takes our twisted lives. Oh yes, He takes our miserable past, you know, and all those things. He helps us to see, oh, we might have been living in what we thought was pleasure, but it wasn't the way of life. Oh, it wasn't according, oh, to the concepts and precepts of God. And oh, we were doomed, we were condemned, and there was no hope. We were walking in the flesh, and we didn't know the living God. But oh yes, He begins to work in us. We who were not in times past a people, we were not a nation of God, we were not qualified. But praise the Lord, under the new covenant, He made a way that we could become the people of God. We who had not obtained mercy in the past now have obtained the wonderful mercy of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, that we could repent and turn to Him. And oh yes, as He continues, Peter continues writing here in this second chapter, he says in verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Oh, he's warning us. Oh, that old man nature that wants to creep up at times and make itself known. Oh, my. He's beseeching us to abstain. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, to let it go, to make it far from us, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It says in verse 12, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And I'll tell you what, you know, it's not good works that are going to save us. No, that's not the case at all. But because He indwells in us, because He has changed us, we do good works because we are His workmanship. And oh yes, that is what He has ordained, that we who were once alienated from the plan of God, oh yes, from His kingdom, that we would become joint heirs with Christ. And it says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers," because, you know, those that are without, those that have not yielded to the Lord and given their lives to Him and repented, they're not going to understand us. But it says, They may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Those good works are going to be a witness against them that yield not to the gospel, that listen not to the gospel of Christ, that obey not the gospel. Those good works. Praise the Lord. How glorious it is. Yes. Jesus said that we were the light of the world, and the city that is hid on a hill cannot be hid. And he talked about how, you know, men did not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in the house. Then he said that we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You see, because of what he has done in our lives, we are going to bring forth good works. I like how it is explained in Ephesians, the second chapter. Just a few verses here. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. The Lord working in us to change us and to make something of our lives. We become the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. And it says, unto good works. You see, that becomes a part of us, the things that we do, so that we can glorify our Father in heaven through those good works that become a part of our nature when we yield it over to the Lord. It says here, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, I love how the Lord takes us in our emptiness, in our vainness, in our worthlessness. Oh, yes, as He begins to take us, that we're not saved by any works at all, except but by what Jesus Christ did for us. But He takes us, and we become His workmanship. And therefore, we're created. Oh, we're made again, created, made from nothing. He takes our nothingness and begins to mold us and shape us so that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, the beauty of God's plan. So here in 1 Peter 2:12, yes, having your conversation or your conduct honest or respectable among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And oh, believe me, yes, on that day of judgment, those works of faith that we did, oh, yes, for the Lord, for His cause, are going to stand up as a witness against them. And therefore, yes, we don't want to be a stumbling block. Oh, we want to help any at all that will find the way, that will be looking for the living God. So it tells us in verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so it is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence ignorance of foolish men. And you see, again, good works and not being obstinate people and contrary and, you know, just rebellious, you know, stirring up strife and causing trouble of all sorts, protesting this and that and causing riots, you know, being contentious and all those kind of things. No, that should not be a part of our personality in Christ. You know, that's not our nature. We're not going to stir up trouble in that sense. But it's by our well-doing that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Again, that they might see the good works that we do through Christ Jesus. And it explains in verse 16 as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Oh, yes, how our attitudes, you know, our thinking changes as, you know, we put on Christ. Oh, we cast off all these other works of darkness and these other attitudes and these other things that are contrary to God. Oh, we would not ever want to have a cloak of maliciousness. upon our beings, but we're servants of God. We're His ambassadors. We're His servants. We are representing Jesus Christ. And we know how it was when He walked this earth. He did come, oh yes, you know, to, you know, strike out against those that opposed Him. He didn't start, you know, a riot and stir them up in that manner at all, but He simply preached the gospel. And He went about doing good, casting out devils and healing those that were sick and preaching the gospel of peace. Oh yes, that's what our Lord did. And that's what He wants us to do also. Oh yes, not to have contrary spirits. Spirits that will stir up strife and contention and trouble. But know that we could lead people to Jesus Christ. He says in verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And I'll tell you what, we're also told to try to live as much as it is possible peaceably with all men. A little bit of advice there in Romans, the 12th chapter. Going there for a quick one here. Romans 12. It tells us in verse 17 in Romans 12, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. See, this goes along with what he's describing here in 1 Peter. And it says in verse 19 here in Romans 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, it's all in God's hands. They may misunderstand us. They may mistreat us. You know, we may suffer persecution. You know, we may be slain by those that hate the Lord. But it's all in God's hands. We give it over to the Lord because it is written, even in Deuteronomy, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He's going to take care of it. There's that day of judgment, and it's forthcoming, and all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds that were done in the flesh. But we give those things. It says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And then, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we're going to win. Oh, yes, by putting on the armor of Christ. Oh, yes, by walking in His ways. Oh, yes, by having a spirit that's like unto Christ. A kind, a gentle spirit. Oh, yes, a merciful spirit. Oh, yes, a loving spirit. All those things so that others can see that Jesus dwells in us. And then, oh yes, a little more advice here in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is accepted with God. Or rather, this is acceptable with God. You know, yes, there's one thing, yes, when we have faults, and yes, there's consequences to it. But sometimes as we walk this road of life and we're living for the Lord and doing the best we can, oh yes, sometimes people get very agitated, they get very angry, oh, they begin to hate us and despise us, and oh, as they treated Jesus Christ, they may also treat us. But Peter is talking about the need to take it patiently, even when we suffer. Oh, yes, and Paul wrote, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's actually an attribute that we can expect if we're living truly for the Lord. But it says, but if, when you do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And what a precious example it is. Now, I'll tell you what, didn't you know, we just read about servants being subject to your own masters with all fear or all respect. And sometimes that's not easy. You know, we have a job and we're under a supervision, if we're under a boss, then it's likewise as if we're a servant in that manner. But, you know, we are told that, you know, whatsoever we do in word or deed, we're supposed to do it unto the Lord. There in Colossians, the third chapter, how it tells us our attitude, even if we're subject to a master, we do it as unto Christ and not unto man. And here, yes, to have that kind of attitude. So that, oh yes, we are, we show them the way. We have a conscience that's void of offense because we're leading people to Jesus. And we don't want any stumbling blocks. We don't want anything to be contrary. So, you know, those that are looking, and believe me, I know there are people that are looking. There are people that are seeking it. People that desire, oh yes, the living way. And maybe they've gone to 1,000 churches. Perhaps exaggerating here, but many churches, and maybe found no one, maybe looking for somebody who represents the gospel. Maybe they found nobody that passed the test. But oh, praise the Lord, if that light of the Lord Jesus dwells in us, we can live unto the Lord and be a light in this world. Oh, yes, so that they can see Jesus in us. Oh, so that they could tell that there's something different. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that there's a living Christ in us. And oh, yes, he has changed us. Oh, he has made us new creatures in Christ. Therefore, our thinking is not what it used to be. The way we talk, the way we express ourselves, it's not the way it used to be at all. Oh, the way we dress even, it's most likely going to change. All these things are going to be different because, yes, we've given our lives over to the Lord. But thank God we have an example. Oh, yes, if we suffer, we know that there is one that lived and walked this earth. Oh, yes, and suffered, was despised a man and rejected a man. Jesus Christ. But what was he doing? Oh, yes, he was making a way for us. And he was giving us an example, as it explains in verse 21 here. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Oh, yes, there's somebody we can follow. Oh, yeah, there might not be many people in this world that you could consider as an example. But yes, there is Jesus Christ, and we can follow his steps. Oh, yes, because he lived in this world. Oh, yes, and he suffered in this world. He was rejected. Yet, in spite of temptation, he didn't give in to those temptations. It tells us here, who did no sin, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Oh, there was no deceit found in his mouth. There was no guilt found in his mouth. He did no sin. And it says in verse 23, who when he was reviled, Oh, when he was assailed with abusive language, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus there standing before Pilate. Oh, yes, his own people crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate, oh, realizing that there was no evil that he had done. Oh, trying to get Jesus out of that circumstance. But the people, so filled with hate, so filled with demonic forces, crying out all the more, crucify him, crucify him. Why? What evil hath he done? None at all, none at all, nothing at all. Only went about doing good, only delivering them, oh yes, from their sins. Oh yes, delivering them from those devils. Oh yes, delivering them from hardships, burdens of life, all those things, oh yes, that Jesus came to do. But yet, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, oh, they just that crown of thorns upon his head. They put that purple robe upon him. They mocked him. Oh, they whipped him. They puppeted him. They did all those horrendous things to him. Did he deserve it? No, not a lick. Oh, not a tad. Not at all. Oh, not at all. But there he was standing in that judgment hall. And he didn't defend himself. No, he didn't. He was quiet when he could have got off the hook. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Oh, he knew there was something else. Oh, that was greater. He was bearing our sins. Oh, yes, he was going to make a way for his people. Oh, yes, so that we could have new life. Oh, yes, so that we could come to the living Savior. So we didn't have to live in our trespasses and sins. Oh, yes, so that we could taste of the living Word and let it change us. Oh, it explains in verse 24 here, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, praise the Lord, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Oh, we were all so negligent. Oh, we were all so rotten. Oh my, we were all so full of sin. We were all those sheep that had went astray. Those contrary ones, doing our own things, living in our own pleasure, living in that carnal self. But the Lord Jesus, so graciously, willing to take those stripes, oh yes, so that we can know what it is like to be healed. Those stripes, oh yes, those 40 stripes, save one, yes, that he took for us. Oh yes, what was he doing? He was bringing forth our healing so we could come to him in faith and believe him and be healed of our diseases. Oh yes, those things that try to bring us down, those hindrances, oh yes, those sicknesses, all those things he was bearing for us. And then allowing them, oh yes, to nail him on that tree. Oh, that cross. Buried our sin there on that tree. Bringing forth the people, yes, knowing how wretched we were, how hopeless we were. Oh, yes. How needful we were. But there he was, bearing our sins in his own body. He who had no sins, taking our sins on the cross. How could we ever thank him enough for that? He didn't have to do that. You know, he couldn't have died. He couldn't have suffered without taking our sins. You know, all of those things that he bore for us. Oh, he did it because he saw us. He saw us there on the cross. He knew that there would be a people that would bend the knee, that would turn their lives over to him, that would fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, that chief cornerstone. Oh, that was laid in Zion. Oh, that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, shall not be ashamed. Oh, praise the Lord, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Oh, yes. Making us indeed a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, we are all back there. We are all in the darkness. We are all in great need. But he who knew no sin took our sins. Oh, yes, that we could return unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, making a way for us. Oh, how can we ever thank him enough? How can we ever praise him enough for what he has done? Oh, yes, that we could come to him. Oh, yes, allowing him to reform us, to make us new creatures in Christ. Oh, yes, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And oh yes, we're going to put away all those ugly old things of the past. And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Oh yes, what he did for us. Oh yes, so we could be living. Oh, living vessels. Oh, part of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. Oh, he who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, oh, we died out to the old man, to our sins, to live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord reforming us, making us new creatures in Christ. All those old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Living unto Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. On the hope that we have in you, Lord. And oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us to walk uprightly. Oh God, to strive against sin. Oh God, and to live, oh God, according to your precepts, according to your judgments, oh Lord, that we might walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh God, and oh Lord, to live according to thy precepts, Lord. Help us. Oh, and we praise thee, Lord, to thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. Thy unspeakable gift, O Lord, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise thee, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, what he did for us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 18 and sing The Solid Rock, number 18. Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.